neither did his brethren believe in him. And so we see that Jesus had several brothers, James, Jude, and he had another brother. And on one occasion, we read that Jesus also had sisters. So you know, that kind of knocks out the whole idea of Mary only bearing one child. You know, as many would have you believe that Jesus was the only child that Mary had. But Mary actually had about five or six children.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Introduction to Jude. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Introduction to Jude.
Is that there was a lot of people who were infiltrating the church and promoting false doctrine. And these individuals were known as Gnostics. And this doctrine that they were promoting was known as the doctrine as Gnosticism. And I'm going to tell you what, by the time we get finished with this series, you will know what Gnosticism is. You know why? Because many of the false teachings that we see in the church today are a direct result of Gnosticism. And so we need to understand what these guys were dealing with back in this day. You know, they just didn't have this opportunity to be able to set up these churches and just go preach the gospel. But, you know, there were people, look what he says in verse 4. Jude says in verse 4, he said, for there are certain men that are crept in unaware. Man, they just came in slick. Smooth, you know what it was like? If you can put you in a Chuck Swindoll gave this illustration. If you can picture being outside on the day, oh man, somebody told me when I came across the street, thank the man upstairs for the weather. But I'm not gonna thank the man upstairs. I'm gonna thank the man who's in my heart. I'm gonna thank the man who moves among us. I'm gonna thank the man who is my Lord and Savior just for the good weather. So I just want to put that in this morning. But you know, on a day like this, being out in a swimming pool, and here are people sitting around the pool drinking lemonade, sitting on their lawn chairs, listening to their box, just having a good time, jamming and just enjoying themselves. The little kiddies are in the kiddie pool on the short end, and you got the macho guys diving off the diving board up the deep end, and you got other guys just sitting around doing what people do, just chilling and grilling. And then all of a sudden, with all this activity going on, unaware to everybody else, this crocodile climbs into the pool and begins to devour those who are in the pool. He crept in unaware. All that was in there, nobody saw him coming in. He blended in among the crowd. He was received in because nobody identified him. Nobody realized that he was coming in. And he slipped in the pool unaware and began to wreak havoc. And Jude is saying that's what these false teachers do, that these false teachers slip in. They creep in unaware. And you know what? They begin to preach something that sounds so good that, man, you just swallow it hook, line, sinker, fisherman, boat, lake, shore, all of it. Because it sounds so good. And so as we look at this whole idea of Gnosticism, on the notes there, I've given you an analogy to help you remember it. And the analogy is, you know, he said what? They crept in, right? He said they crept in. So we gave you the word creep. You know how people creep?
Creep. All right. We're not talking about like Josie or. All right now. Jeff, you know what I mean, right? Don't you, man?
All right. Creeping. But let's get back to creeping. They creep in. And hopefully this analogy will help you to understand what Gnosticism is. All right. And you know, I just want to say this, that by no means am I capturing all the components of Gnosticism, but these are some of the main things that the Gnostics were promoting back in that day. And as you read through that's once again, in the fall, let me give another advertisement. In the fall, we're going to be teaching hermeneutics, all right? And hermeneutics is the principle and interpretation of the Bible, how to interpret it correctly. Now, there are some radio preachers that need to take hermeneutics. They need to correctly be able to interpret the word of God, all right? Benny Hinn needs to take some hermeneutics. Creflo, he needs to take some hermeneutics. All right, so I just want to say that as a commercial, that we will be teaching that class in the fall in the Bible Institute, hermeneutics, the correct interpretation for interpreting the Bible. And as you look at that, one of the things that you have to find out is, why did these guys write some of the things that they wrote? You know why they wrote some of the things that they wrote? Because they were fighting Gnosticism. And as you read it, and you might look at it one way, but when Timothy wrote it, when Paul wrote to Timothy, or when Jude wrote it, or when James wrote it, or when Peter wrote it, they were writing to fight poison that was in the church. And so they had to make it clear to these folk what was going on. And so the C in Gnosticism stands for Christ. And what the Gnostics believe is that Christ did not possess a physical body, but merely seemed to be a man. There was no real union between the human and the divine, only an illusion. And so what were the Gnostics saying? The Gnostics were saying that Jesus was just a phantom. He was just a ghost, that he didn't have any substance. And look down a little bit. Look at the two E's. One E is for excellence. And Gnostics believed that all that was spiritual was excellent or good. And evil, the other E is for evil. And they believe that all that is body, flesh, or material is evil. So why would they say that Jesus didn't have a body? Well, simply because the body is evil. The flesh is evil. And if Jesus is God and he was a spirit, but he could not have a body. And so they were going around. And you know what? It came into the church and it started sounding good to some folk. Yeah, I can go with that. I'm down with that. Jesus is just a phantom. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And people began to accept it. And so Jude writes this letter. And if you look at 1 John, John was even dealing with it when he wrote his epistle. Look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4. John says here, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By this you shall know the Spirit of God. Look at this. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Why did he write that? He wrote it because of the Gnostics. He wrote it because the Gnostics were saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. He only was a phantom. He only was an illusion. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Yet ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." And so John writes to straighten out this Gnostic belief that was going on. And the word Gnostic actually means, it comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. And so one of the R in the creep stands for revelation of knowledge. And that the Gnostics believed that the only way to salvation was to, they believed that since the flesh was evil, and that you did have a spirit that was within you, and that spirit within you was dead. And so what the Gnostics said, well, you need knowledge. And what does knowledge do? Knowledge awakens that spirit that's within you. And this is what the Gnostics believed, that the more knowledge you get, the more enlightened you become. And the more knowledge you get, the more like God you can become. And the more knowledge and enlightenment that you get, one day you can be a God. Now, haven't we heard that somewhere today? Haven't we already heard? See, what does Solomon say? Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. All this stuff with all these people today, with all this new age stuff, this is just Gnosticism repackaged and sold under a different cover. That's all that it is. And so the Gnostics believe that your flesh is evil, and that, you know what, you can't do anything with that. And so the best thing you could do was get knowledge and bring to life that spirit that was within you. The C stands for Christ. They believe that Christ was a phantom or a ghost, and that he didn't have a physical body. The R is for revealed knowledge. They believe that you needed knowledge in order to be enlightened, in order to overcome the flesh. And this knowledge even was elevated over the Bible. They say, you don't need the Bible. You don't need what the people are saying. All you need is not, oh, man. Now, see, I wish I had time to fix this thing up this morning, but I'm going to get it. I got a couple weeks to work on it. See, that's one thing about when Jeff and Carl and Mike and these guys preach, they got to say it all. Y'all wonder why they preach so long, right? Because they got to get it all in while they're up here. But they
say, why they preach so long? Because they got to get it all in. That's why they preach long. See, I can say, well, we're going to come back to it next week and get it in again. But you know, as you look at this whole idea, see, this whole idea is, and I'm sure you've heard this. Well, you know, I really don't care what the Bible says. This is what happened to me. That's Gnosticism. That's all that is. It's Gnosticism. Because Gnosticism put a person's experience, it put a person's personal revelation over the Word of God. Now, I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, I'm leaving the Baptist church. I said, man, wait. Not that the Baptists are the only way. I don't, you know, necessarily believe that. You know, I always tell people if, you know, if you're going to go to heaven, you might as well go first class, though. No, let me take that back. It's all, you know, Baptist is not the only way now. All right, that's not the only way. All right. But, you know, he said he was leaving. He said, because he said, you Baptists, man, y'all lock too many folk in to interpretations, and you lock too many folk in, man. He said, I got to have a little more freedom in my worship. I got to have a little more freedom to be able to see things the way that I want to see them and interpret them the way that I want to interpret them. And I said, you know, in my mind, as I listened to him talk, I said, you know what that is right there? That's Gnosticism. That's all that it is. It's Gnosticism when you take your experiences, your knowledge, and you elevate it over the Word of God. And so we see that going on all over today. Man, it's amazing how we can get people on TV and say all kind of foolishness. I mean, give all kind of predictions about this and about that, and it don't come true because they had some type of knowledge revealed to them. See, you know, to me, this is it right here. This is it. You know, now, if I have any other revelation, as long as it lines up with this, I can accept my revelation. But if my revelation don't line up with this, then guess who's wrong? Guess who's wrong? You know, y'all get tired of hearing me say it, but I got to say it again. The Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could believe, a good man wrote it to deceive. And a bad man would not, if he could, proceed to write a book so good. So it must be that God inspired words that souls of prophets fired. This is the Word of God. This is the absolute authority of the child of God. This is the absolute authority should be of the church. And that if I'm going to elevate my experience above what the Word says, then I got some big issues at that point. And so the C is for Christ, that Christ was a phantom or he just appeared to have flesh. The R is for revelation of knowledge, that revealed knowledge is the way to salvation, and this knowledge is even elevated over the Bible. The E is for excellent. All that is spiritual is excellent. And the other E is for evil, and that is the body, flesh, or material is evil. And now look at the two practices. Look what these two practices naturally lead to. I mean, excuse me. Look what Gnosticism leads to. And there are a lot of types of Gnosticism, but let me just give you two types of Gnosticism. The first one is called asceticism, which some people, because they believe spirit is good and flesh is bad, well, what do? They separate themselves from all evil. They abstain from everything. They abstain from getting married. Oh, I can't touch him. I can't touch her. She's evil. You know, they abstain from eating certain food. Oh, I can't touch that. That's evil. So Gnosticism, because that you believe that spirit is good and flesh is evil, it led a lot of people to begin to separate themselves from the things around them so they wouldn't get contaminated. And so who writes this? Timothy writes and addresses this whole issue of Gnosticism. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy addresses it there. Paul addresses it. Paul addresses it in his letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Here again. Paul is fighting Gnosticism. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Look at this. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by whom believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So, why did he write that? Is he writing that to tell us, as some people would say, well, he just wants to let us know that God cleansed all animals and that all animals are clean to eat? Well, you can take that out of that if you want to, but that's not why he wrote it. He didn't write it for that.
He wrote it because there was knucklehead Gnostics in the church telling people to abstain from marriage, to abstain from eating food, because you don't want to contaminate yourself with the things of the world. And so Paul writes to fight this asceticism. And then, you know, the other thing that Gnosticism leads to is this, is licentiousness. Now, look at this. And we see this today. Because the world is evil and the physical body is sinful, it did not matter what they did in the flesh. They could go ahead and do whatever they wanted to. You know, because your spirit. So you see the two extremes. The one extreme is just totally isolate yourself so that you don't contaminate yourself. And the other group of Gnostics said, well, you know what? Hey, man, you know, what the Osley brothers say? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. If it feels good, go ahead and do it. That was the other side of Gnosticism. Man, whatever you want to do, just make yourself feel good. You know, just pleasure yourself. Just have a good time. You know why? Because your spirit is inside of you and your body is already evil anyways. Your flesh is evil. Why not just do what the flesh wants to do? Why not just go ahead and have a good time, party hardy, live it up? Because one day you're going to die and your spirit will live on. And so that led to those two opposing views. So why does Peter write what he writes in 1 Peter? He writes it to fight Gnosticism. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, where this stuff came? What did Jews say? Jews said this stuff came up in the church. It was up in the church. And so Peter's writing to the saints. And he says here in verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope for the end, for the grace that is brought to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he who hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who is without respect of person, judgeth according to every man's work, pass out the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you have not been redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, from your vain manner of life, you received by the traditions of men from your fathers, but you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Why did he write that? Why did Peter write that? Peter wrote that because of the Gnostic view that said, enjoy yourself. Just go ahead and pleasure your flesh. And so we see a very strong mandate coming from Jude as he is fighting Gnosticism. He's fighting it down to the everything that he has in him. Jude said, contend for the faith, my brothers and sisters. He said, contend for the faith. Everything that's within you, contend for it. And you know what? It blows my mind that, you know, I listen to this guy every day. Not every day. I used to listen to him every day. His name is Dave Ramsey. And he does this financial thing. And this guy, man, is just on top of his finances. And one of the things that Dave Ramsey does, and it just blows me away, is that he's bringing up his kids how to, I mean, he's a Christian, and he's bringing up his kids by Christian principles how to handle money. I mean, and he shares on the radio the principles that he has set up for his kids and how he gives them allowance and what they got to do. You know, they got to tithe and all. And I just listened to him, man. I said, wow. You know, wow. This guy has put this thing, and as far as it is right now, you know, I know that when kids turn a certain age, man, sometimes they don't want to hear what you got to say. But right now, I said, go ahead, brother, with your bad self. But it's working. And I'm saying, you know what that'd be like? Like if one day I hear that one of Dave Ramsey's kids, because this brother don't believe in credit at all, no credit cards, none at all. Brother Jeff, it would be just like if one of Dave Ramsey's kids got a credit card. That'd freak me out, man. No, no, not Dave Ramsey's son. Not Dave Ramsey's daughter. He don't have a credit card. It would just blow me away. But you know what? You know something that blows me away even more? When I see people who come here every week, sit here, hear the truth being taught, and end up going to some foolish event. End up going to study with some folks that, man, they as lost as little Bo Peep sheep. You know, I don't understand it. They say, do you know so-and-so went to? No, not so-and-so. They go to Bethany, man. Right. They go to Bethany. Right. No, not them. Right. Wow. Wow. all this that we teach every week. No, they wasn't over there, was they? No, they wasn't studying with them, was they? Man, I don't say, Pastor Glaze is, I'm cool, calm, and collected. I might stand there like this, but inside I'm like, no! Jude, man, Jude said to earnestly contend for the faith. And sometimes, man, you just gotta, as Paul told Timothy, to study to show yourself approved. And as you do that, man, you get grounded. You get rooted and grounded in the word. Let me say this, because I got more to say. We got a whole chapter. I haven't even got into this. That's just the introduction. I haven't even got into the chapter yet. But, let me just say this. See, this is why, my heart's desire. I'm going to tell you what my heart's desire is, that every member of Bethany Baptist Church would go through the Bible Institute. That's my heart's desire. You know why? Because in the Bible Institute, we teach Old Testament survey. We teach New Testament survey. In the Bible Institute, we go through the 12 major doctrines of the Christian faith. Ecclesiology, the study of the church. Angelology, the study of angels. Eschatology, the study of the future. Soteriology, the study of salvation. Hermeneutology, the study of sin. Pneumatology, the study of the spirit. Christology, the study of Christ. Theology, the study of God. Man, we study it. We get down so that you understand it. And then when you get finished with that, right now we got an apologetics course that's teaching people how to defend the faith. That when somebody comes to you and say that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we got 17 convincing proofs to show you in the Bible and outside the Bible that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That when you come and say, well, I believe in evolution, we got 3 good reasons inside the Bible and outside the Bible why God is in existence and why he is the creator of all things. We are teaching people to defend the faith. And then in the fall, we're going to teach a course on hermeneutics. And hermeneutics is a 50-cent word, and all it means is the art and science of biblical interpretation. And what that means is that you can't take a verse and make it say what you wanted to say, because a text without a context is just a pretext. And so you've got to take the verse, you've got to interpret it in the context that it's in, you've got to apply the scientific biblical rules to help you to be able to understand what the verse is saying, so that you can't take a verse like Isaiah 53, which says, he has been wounded for our transgression, he has been bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You can't take that and teach healing, because it doesn't mean healing. Because if you go to 1 Peter, Peter says that this verse is talking about salvation. Oh man, y'all got me fired up this morning. So we're trying to get people to stop falling for foolishness, and just put yourself on some firm. Now, that's the only reason why God put it in my spirit to start this Bible Institute, because I want to see folk get rooted and grounded. Man, we got pastors coming to the Bible Institute to get rooted and grounded. We got 3 pastors that are going taking courses right now. Man, I tell you what, that fires me up, man. Fires me up. Now we need to get this. I mean, that's what I say. If you're a member of Bethany Baptist Church, if you don't know anything else, you ought to be able to stand on the faith. You ought to be able to at least know, man, I'm not going to get out here. I'm not going to believe all this foolishness that's coming across the airways. I'm not going to be sending my money to somebody that I don't know what they're doing. I want to see a doctrinal statement before I send you some money. Oh, man. So Jude said, contend for the faith. Agonize for the faith.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of There Are Some Things Worth Fighting For. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Introduction to Jude, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to Jude. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to Jude, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, the website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.